Dr. Kaleche Kennedy O'Carey, come on down. It's a trap today. We're going to teach all of y'all the High Chief Shuffle today. This, for those of you who don't know, this is Dr. O'Carey. He and his wife and three children, Leslie and three kids, have been in a Babylonian captivity out in Oklahoma. Dr. O'Carey, tell us what you're about to be doing.
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning, and it's good to be back home. I say that I have two homes, and one is in Nigeria, and another one is here in Savannah. I will say for the past 2.5 years, we've been in Oklahoma, where we've been working with the clinic there. But it has been a little bit different. The faces are not familiar, and it doesn't feel like home. And so when my contract started coming to an end, I felt that I'm not going to renew it. I just want to come back to Savannah. So as God will have it, the people that I worked with, I had interviews in Gainesville and some other places, and they liked me. They want me to come back. But I've been talking with Curtis Cooper that I worked with before, and I had some demands that I wanted. And so last day was to meet them face-to-face. That was last Friday. And so when I met them, and the CEO said, well, we've seen all your demands. We're going to meet all your demands, so we want you to come back. So then there's no other way to say that God has answered my prayers than to say it is well. And so I'll be back here again. I'll start working here October 1st. So tomorrow I'll go back to Oklahoma and prepare.
Look at those faces. You see all those smiles? Amen. Let's thank the Lord, okay? Lord, we thank you for this man and for his family, for Leslie, Lord. And those three children, Lord, I thank you in your providence that you have turned them around to come back here to this place. And Lord, we are excited. We're excited for all the personal reasons, but Lord, most of all, for the kingdom reasons, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for what you're going to be doing. I pray now that you'll smooth out the way, that you'll work out all the details, and they'll be able to find a house and all of that, Lord. And God, just go before them and protect them. And Lord, I pray that it'll be an easy transition, especially for the children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Welcome, Dr. O'Carey.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. God bless you.
Father, thank you for working when we don't see you working. Thank you for moving when we think there's no movement. Thank you for your patience when we get anxious. Thank you for your mercy when we're crying out in anger, when we have nothing to be angry about. God, thank you for your grace when we cheapen it by making choices that we know are wrong. God, I pray your grace and your mercy will be very evident during our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I do want to mention to you is, I like to mention to you at the beginning because I think we just kind of get anxious when we don't do it. Start writing down prayer requests and praises and thanksgivings. And by the way, one of the things that came to mind as Dusty was praying for Dr. O'Carey was this, is God is orchestrating a lot of things in our lives. We just haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet. God is doing a lot of things. He's moving. There's parts that are moving in prayer and dreams and visions and these words and people around you. We just haven't seen the culmination of it yet. We're walking by faith, and it cannot be a word that we just like to throw out because we're Christians. It has to be a word that becomes part of our DNA. Are we really living by faith, or are we trying to attach a word to something under our own control? See, there's a big difference living by faith and walking in faith. And this morning, we're going to conclude our story of parables using the Good Samaritan, stories that we live by. The Samaritan guy, as we get ready to read the scripture, he's an outlier. He's really an outcast. He's not downcast. He's been shunned. He's been cast aside and said, you're not worthy, you're not valuable. By who? By the Jews. By the people that were God's chosen people. Samaritans were considered basically half-breeds. Okay? They had mixed themselves amongst the Gentiles in centuries before. But God always has a way of calling people out, speaking into their lives by using examples of others who are not necessarily ready to embrace the truth. So I have a question for you as we move to the beginning of the scripture is this. Are you willing to embrace the truth in your life that God is moving and working and speaking? How is God changing your outlook by embracing who He is in your own personal life? Not in somebody else's life, not through somebody else that you would like to aspire to be like, or somebody else's life you wish would change, but your own personal life. So let's begin this morning with this scripture of the story of Jesus with the Good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Jesus, what is written in the law? You should know it. You're a teacher. How do you read it? How do you understand it? How does God speak to you through it?" And the teacher of the law answered, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the teacher of the law, this joker must have been a relative of Peter. He just couldn't keep his mouth shut when it was time to just embrace what Jesus had said. He's got to inquire a little bit more. There must have been something eating at him. There's something eating at you today? But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, the same road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, that no good for nothing, outcast, half-breed, Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, the man that was half dead. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, took care of him, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back.' Jesus then says, 'Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?' He said, the teacher of the law said, 'The one who showed him mercy.' And Jesus said to him, 'You go and do likewise.'" So I know this parable for most of you is extremely familiar, very familiar. You've parsed it out. You've done Bible studies. You've heard 100 sermons. Most of you could probably recite it by memory because it's a very easy, it's got a good flow to it. But this morning, how is it going to challenge us? How is it going to move us down the road being more intimate with God the Father so our actions and our attitudes can have an impact on the world that doesn't know God the Father? I believe God is challenging us this morning to move out of what we know about this and to move into a state of action. How are we going to behave? How are we going to be different? What is God stirring? So let's look at something, a very easy, basic thing. Why did this Samaritan act when others refused? So we're going to look at some very simple points this morning, and I'm going to kind of talk about the story on the way. Why? The first one was this, I believe. And by the way, I and you could have probably come up with 100 points. But I thought like you might want to go somewhere this afternoon, so I thought I'd leave it at 5. So we got 5 points coming instead of 100. Tell her I'm not done, but you can come back later. Anyway, it's just too easy. Convenience didn't dictate the choice. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is about 15 miles. It's a long road. It's a descent from Jerusalem down to Jericho. You go from a high point down to Jericho. It was a long journey. There was a lot of work ahead. We don't know where on the road this encountered, but along the road there were always robbers and thieves and usually bandits and groups were hanging out for people ready to pounce on some poor sucker that had traversed this road all by themselves. So here's this Samaritan coming upon a situation that he didn't plan for. I don't even think he wanted it. I don't think he hoped for it. And we have no evidence he prayed for it. Convenience didn't dictate the choice. He had a journey to make. He had a place to go. He had a task to do. He had to get to a kid's birthday party. He had to get to work. He had to get to Walmart and see where all the sinners were hanging out, except for Russell. Russell's not a sinner at Walmart. Oh, Russell's left. He didn't even hear that comment. Anyway, he's working. Convenience didn't dictate the choice. Don't even know anything about the guy that was robbed, and we don't really know much about the Samaritan. But let me give you a couple of thoughts about something about this parable. Let's bring a backdrop thought for a second. You ready? The teacher of the law wanted to know something from Jesus about how he could have something. Now you may say, but he asked Jesus who his neighbor was. Jesus didn't answer the question about just who your neighbor was. He answered the more, and here's the more. Go and do likewise so that you may live. Convenience doesn't dictate the choice because we are built to have a fulfilling, meaningful, purpose-filled life. But it can't wait to decide always in the moments. How do I have that? Jesus answers the question with saying, boy, I know something's missing. I know there's something missing in your life. Do these things and you will live. He wasn't talking about eternal life completely. He was talking about a here and now. What's missing? What's missing today? How is Jesus challenging you to live? Because we don't get to live according to God's standards by allowing convenience to dictate the choices we make. There's always going to be another check on the to-do list. There's always, for the parents of multiple children, is there ever a day where you don't have a dirty pair of underwear to wash? Is there ever a day where you have the house perfect and clean and it stays that way, the kids are gone? Well, that's you answering. If Bethany answered it, it'd probably be if you're gone. Okay? What I'm telling you is this. The reality is we know that we'll never get around to getting around to everything. We also know that it's difficult to get around to getting around to all the things that we desire to do, that we want to do. Convenience cannot dictate the choice. And it didn't dictate it for him. He was going someplace. The Samaritan was going somewhere. It wasn't like he was on the road saying, I don't have anything else to do today. It's all perfect. Something interrupted his life. Next point. Why did the Samaritan act when others refused? He didn't use the man's poor choice as a reason not to act. You see, the man who was beat up and left half dead, truth is he made a bad choice prior to that. I just said that road was full of robbers and thieves and bandits, and all kinds of bad things could happen. There was a lot of places for ambushes. There was a lot of reason why you should never go on that road by yourself. But isn't it interesting? Four people on that road, one of them was left for half dead. The other three survived it. Side note. The rest of the journey, did the priest and the Levite get stirred in their heart with, well, maybe I should have, maybe I could have, maybe I would have? Because see, they didn't get to go back. They could only go forward. The Samaritan stopped on his journey, but he didn't allow the man's poor choice as a reason to not act. He could have looked over at that man and he could have called him some derogatory names. He could have said, you know better than to do this. He could have said, because you know better, I don't have time. You made a poor decision. You shouldn't be out here by yourself. He could even look by and said, I don't have the means to help you. He apparently had one animal. Now remember, I told you, 15-ish miles was this journey. We do not know exactly where on the road. It tends to read in the story closer to Jerusalem than Jericho. So he probably had further to go than he did left or less to go. So that meant when the Samaritan put him on his animal, guess who had to walk the rest of the way? The Samaritan. The guy who had made a bad decision by traveling on the road by himself was the one that got to ride all the way. The Samaritan had to walk. What if the Samaritan said, I've only got one animal. I'm going to have to walk. I'm tired from the day. I'll just pray for you. I'll just pray that God blesses and sends somebody else. I don't really understand how to take care of wounds. Think of the litany, the excuses the Samaritan could have made. Didn't use the man's poor choice as a reason not to act. What I tell you, we started us out today, how is God going to challenge your comfort zone? How is God going to challenge my comfort zone? How is God challenging us to move the word faith into a verb? Just like the word love should be a verb, faith can be a verb. Didn't use the man's poor choice as a reason not to act. The next one. He looked at the big picture, I believe. The Samaritan. He looked at the big picture, long term. We're going to kind of talk about this in the next point too, but I believe he stood back, had a moment, just simply said, I have to go do something. I may not understand everything that happened, but I know that I need to act. There's a need I can provide. I have been provided for. I have been provided for to have this moment arrive in my life. Where was he going? Jericho? Because he was on the way and by chance. We live in a culture, a country, a world that's always on the way to somewhere to do something. How much of an eternal impact it has? I don't know. God will get to judge that. But looked at the big picture. He didn't just simply see what was right in front of him. He saw the more. And I don't know that sometimes if we just get caught in the rat race, or we just choose to simply say, this is all I can see. This is all I can see is right in front of me. I was telling the 930 group on Thursday, we needed printer cartridge toner for our printer. Now I live in Georgetown. There's a Walmart right around the corner. There's a Staples right down the road. You know what I did, don't you? What did I do? Ordered it from Amazon, waited until Saturday so it showed up on my front door. You know what I was looking at the big picture? Dane didn't have to leave the comfort of his chair and the comfort of my iPad. Because you know what? I got my one-click purchase. I got my one-click purchase. What does that have to do with this look at the big picture? Well, first of all, I looked at it as a saving myself time. I also looked at it one other way. How often do we as Americans walk into a store and buy one thing? In fact, how often do you go on Amazon and buy one thing? I can't call anybody out, but there's somebody right now that should be confessing, yes, yes, yes. I know me. I have to see my life as how could God orchestrate it to have the greatest impact with what I've been blessed with. And looking at the big picture, I believe you begin to think about that a little differently. John, he also valued and he participated in life, not a bystander. I said this to you a few minutes ago. He was the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan all had this in common. They were on the way and by chance, they came across this man. I've said this to you before. I believe the parables are true stories. I believe this really happened. And I believe God has a sense of humor. Now remember, this is my opinion, so this isn't even, I'm not quoting the Bible, I'm giving you my opinion on this story. I believe this story really happened, and I believe that the teacher of the law, it was either him, or it was either somebody he knew, the man. I believe that, 100%. You may say, why do I believe that? Because God always hits the tender spot. God always touches the tender spot. Jesus could have said, hey, you know, teacher of the law, 5,000 years ago, this road was a little rocky. But he said a man. And he was talking about current. My point being is this. When you value and you participate in life and you're not a bystander, God will use the tender spots. You have tender spots. I have tender spots. God is stirring some of those spots. One of the great things I love about this Samaritan is this. Here's what he did. He valued what was in front of him to make a difference. He didn't set up a booth that said, do not travel on this road alone. He didn't start a counseling service. He didn't start a security service for all the guys. He simply said, I have an opportunity and I have the resources to make a difference in this man's life. I have a choice to either on the way, by chance, walk on the other side, or on the way, by chance, I can get down and dirty and get personal with this guy. By the way, this didn't take 5 minutes. He didn't roll out his get out of Dodge Band-Aid bag. Okay? You know those two things that he gave, oil and wine? They were precious. They were precious commodities. He didn't use his ace bandage. He didn't look up on his phone WebMD. He used two things that had cost him. It cost him time. It cost him money. It cost him energy. It cost him emotional energy. How do I know it cost him emotional energy? Because this guy, apparently, I don't think was too stupid. So you know what I think one of the things that was going through the Samaritan's thought? I got to be careful because I could be jumped at any point too. So he put himself out there. He risked it. You value something, you'll risk it for that. When you don't value something, you won't risk it. You might want a reward, but you're not willing to risk it. He valued and he participated in life. He was not a bystander. He was participating in a fullness moment. The teacher of the law was hearing this story, and it had to be stirring something. And here's why I know it stirred something. You ready? Jesus never said anything about the word mercy. But the teacher of the law answered, said, the one who had mercy on him. Has Jesus had mercy on you? Is he having mercy on you? Some of you don't know this. I found out earlier that I knew that part of my left eye, part of my peripheral vision has been gone for like 2.5 years. And me being your typical man, I went to the doctor 2.5 years later. Okay? If Kathy's in here, she'd be shaking her head. Oh, there she is. I'm telling them how I lost my peripheral vision 2.5 years ago and I finally decided to go check on it. Well, I found out that I had a partially detached retina. You'll love this story if you love medical stories. So they had to laser it back on, and they don't put you to sleep. Two needles directly in the eyeball with a laser that you get to look at the whole time. Isn't that awesome? Didn't that excite you? Woo! Okay. 2 days ago, it didn't fix the peripheral vision. What it did was it keeps the retina from becoming more detached. Okay. 2 days ago, I pull out on Habersham coming out of the Y, and I pull out on the street, and there's a car about 30 feet from me coming straight at me. You know, God's mercy was at work, because what I realized was, Dane, how many times do I have to tell yourself you don't see like you used to see out of your left side of your eye? God's mercy was at work. Very evident. I mean, plain. It really was. But I believe something. When you value something, you're willing to risk something, you're saying, I don't want to be a bystander, you realize the mercy of God isn't just in you, it's through you. It's not just in you, it's through you. And it may be simply looking at somebody in the eye that you know is having a bad day and just looking at them and saying, you're valuable. You matter. You're worth it. I don't know you and I may never know you, but you're worth the time that it took God to create you. And no matter what you believed in your past, don't let those lies dictate to your future. Value and participate in life. And the last one. Why did he act when others refused? Let's don't complicate it. Just like Jesus. Was Jesus an outcast? Did people think he wasn't who he said he was? The Samaritan, God blessed to show up with everything necessary. Jesus showed up with everything necessary, didn't he? Amen? The Samaritan didn't understand everything that was going on, but he gave tender care. If you stop for just a moment, I guarantee you something, the last 24 hours, maybe the last couple hours, God has shown you tender care, loving care, merciful care. The Samaritan wasn't even valued. People didn't think he had what it took to make a difference. Did you know in some rabbis over the centuries, prior to Jesus' time, they would teach the Samaritan deserved nothing but death and had nothing to do with them? When I tell you they weren't liked and they had no value, they were dogs. But God has a sense of humor. And the teacher of the law that day showed up to justify something. But God said to him through the parable what Jesus said, if you want to experience a fulfillment in your life, then you have to understand everybody has value. the ones you don't want anything to do with, and the things you don't want to have, and the things you don't want to have anything to do with. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. The Samaritan came after others failed. Jesus came after others couldn't get the job done being prophets and no one listened to him. Jesus showed up. So I want you to think about something for a second. The religious guy in the story, Jesus tells a story about a guy who got beat up on the side of the road. Let me ask you a question to think about just a second. Was Jesus really talking about himself, about the teacher of the law? Teacher of the law, you've been bruised, you've been beat up, and you've been left for dead. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Was Jesus really staring at him in the face that day and said, I'm here. I am here. And Jesus said to him, you go and you do likewise. Do what likewise? Live. Have real life. Have an abundant life that's fulfilling because you're giving it away. You're imparting. You're impacting. You're passing on that others are precious and valued and loved. Go and do likewise. On our way, God will, by chance, present to us opportunities. I know that most of you know this, but on Wednesday afternoons, we have a little thing called Treehouse. Terry leads that little band of vagabond whatever. It's the craziest thing some weeks, and you just got to see it. Julie participates, and Jane's there, and Lisa Tobe, Dusty and I, and every once in, Lori Dawson comes by, and we all just kind of hang out at the Treehouse from about 3:30 to 5. What does that have to do with anything? I know I'm not going to get through this story. Here's what I think it has to do with everything. About 2 weeks ago, I don't really read the news, but I came across a story about a 9-year-old boy in Colorado. He committed suicide. And here's why he committed suicide. Over the summer, he'd been in school for about a week this year. And he had been bullied, but something very specific. Over the summer, he told his mom he was gay, homosexual. In fact, he tells his mom, he says, Mom, if you wouldn't mind, quit buying me boy clothes. I'd rather dress like a girl. He went to school 3 days later. He said he was coming home. His mom says, Mom, he was coming home. He was talking about how people were making fun of him. Because she had encouraged him, like, you know, people are going to understand. People are going to understand. You're going to be fine. Came home, three days in school. And he committed suicide. Paraphrasing a little bit here, he couldn't take people making fun of him. What does that have to do with Treehouse? What does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with this story? You know what I really did ask myself? Can I just be honest with you? If I'd have known him personally, what would my attitude have been towards like him? Ask yourself today. Don't play church. Don't pretend church. Would we blame the mom? There was no mention of a dad. Would we have come up with all these reasons to not get close? Would we have, on the way, by chance, ignored an opportunity? I don't know. That story really has gotten under me. I mean, it really has bugged me. And I think one of the reasons why it's bugged me is because God's messing with me about it. How many times do I make a judgment call? The Holy Spirit hadn't been making those judgment calls. I've been making those judgment calls in the flesh. You know, the thing about that story is the priest and the Levite are the two who knew better. And the Samaritan is the one who did better. Let's pray. You can continue to fill out your prayer cards with requests and praises. The altar will be open. Carrie's coming on up. Don't answer what you think you're saying to yourself. You embrace what God is saying to you. Father, I thank you today for awesome stories. I thank you today, God, they're told out of love. And they challenge, and they cut to the core. And I may have heard it 100 times, but it sticks because it's truth. And it won't go away because it's truth. God, I pray today, what is your will? Not how we want to manipulate it, or try to coerce you, or try to bargain with you. But what is your will? We put all this before you in Jesus' name. Altar's open. Rick and Dusty will Dusty and Audrey will be up here, and Rick and I are single today, so we're just by ourselves hanging up here lonely. If you want prayer, the altar is open. You bring your cards and your envelopes.
Stacy asked us to pray for her. She was in prison for a brief time. And I wanted to share to answer a couple of questions. So what did God teach you through the Kairos ministry?
Well, he taught me so much. I'll be honest, I used to think that the scriptures that told us about going into the prison, I thought, well, yeah, that's the prisoners back in the day, the Christians who were in jail for being Christians, that was the prisoners that Jesus was talking about. And no, he came to heal the sick and the lost, and there but for the grace of God go I, and that I and any one of us are really just one decision away from being one of them, and they are us. They're just people like us.
How many of these ladies at prison do you think received Christ for the first time?
Two of them made a public profession of faith, and one of them, I'll share very briefly, her medical situation is so serious that she's not in the general population. She's not allowed to go to events because she's ill. She doesn't know how she got to Kairos. And God got her there, and she is one that asked Jesus into her heart. And another woman was an alternate, and I don't know why one of the women couldn't come, but she was able to come, and she asked Jesus into her heart too. And it's a trickle effect. And I was in the background, and I got to serve. And when you go through Kairos as a resident, which is what we call the inmates there, you get to go back and serve. And so these ladies were in there serving with me. I mean, it was just there. I'd have an hour to tell you.
What is the prison? Which prison were you at?
I was at Pulaski State Prison, which is kind of near Warner Robins, about 2.5 hours away.
Join me as we pray for these now, as they're back into their world, and it's a tough world there. Let's pray.
Can I just say one more thing real quick? All of you that committed to pray, your name went on a piece of construction paper to make a link. Picture yourself in a room, 42 residents. The chain was so long, it wrapped around that huge room twice, and the tears. And the placemats, you had all those kids in the back color, the power as they ate their meal, seeing this scripture from children. I'll be doing it again in April.
Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for what you did. And Lord, now we lift up these two, especially these that have received Christ. Ask you, God, to grow them in the family. And for all the rest of these ladies, as they go back to this daily life, being in prison, I pray, God, they can see the freedom of Jesus in their lives and the people around them. Thank you for using Stacy, and for the whole team and all the time and energy that they invested there, Lord, but only because you led them to do it. And Lord, thank you for what you're going to do from this point forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Stace. The hurricane that's out there, or tropical storm, whatever it's going to be, this is a good time to remind you, if you haven't signed up for Realm, it's a real good time to do this. Each time when we have an emergency, we like to contact everybody. And it's hard to keep up with everybody. But if y'all will do this, this will allow us to be able to contact people more efficiently and find out. And you say, well, I know what I'm doing, but we don't. So we're expending time trying to find out and check on you and make sure that you need that. Because sometimes we find out, well, people really had problems and they needed some help. So this is our software. Realm is our software. We stay connected in the church. We've got a group today, Dixie. Where are you, Dixie? Dixie has been working with a group in the park, Feed the Homeless. They're going to feed today about 50 kiddos. Today, Dane's taking a group out that was going with Dixie today. But God bless Dixie for being our contact person. Please pray for them, as they'll be out there with that today. Priscilla is flying to Australia even as we speak. So keep up with her on Facebook Messenger. If you're her friend, you can find out about that and pray for those people there, because they just don't know what's about to happen to them. A hurricane called Priscilla is about to come to Australia. All right, I think that's everything. Hey, if you hadn't gone up and spoken to the high chief, make sure you do that. There's a smile on his face that Ajax won't take off. All right. Bless you. Lord, now send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Send us out with the love of Jesus. Lord, thank you for speaking through Brother Dane today. This story of love and care from the Good Samaritan. Let us be in that mode this week. And Lord, let us live our lives as unto the one and only God, the Father, Yahweh, the Lord of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And remember, Rosh Hashanah starts this evening for all you Jewish friends. God bless you.